America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to Post Show Recaps, coverage of what we do in the shadows. My name is Grace. I'm a member of the Vampiric Council alongside another member of the Vampiric Council, Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here, Grace, especially with you, because coworkers die, but vampire co-hosts live forever.
That's right. I feel like sometimes I was saying this to you before. Sometimes, like, I feel like explaining podcasting feels a bit like, you know, being a vampire. Like, I'm just gonna go do something over there and not see sunlight for a while.
Yeah, I'm never available. I keep weird hours. I go sit silently in my room with no one.
That's right. In a closet.
Off in a closet, yeah.
Yes. But we're talking about what we do in the shadows, and I have to say, I think people were pretty excited to hear that there was going to be coverage of this show on Post Show Recaps, because this is season 4, which seems wild to me.
Unreal. I had no idea that there even was a season 4 coming. Famously, you asked me if I watched it. I was like, yes, I've seen both seasons, and not realizing there, in fact, were 3. So,
I have a treat for you? Yeah,
honestly, and it was so good, and I was so excited to revisit it and to watch season 3. So this is very exciting for me too, not just for everyone listening.
I think in June, not only did the show release the trailer for season 4, they also said, "Oh yeah, and seasons 5 and 6 are coming."
Incredible. As well.
Yes. Yeah. I think that for this show, it's like I will self-admit, in preparation for this podcast, I tried to watch all of what we do in the shadows. I was only able to do 2 seasons of my rewatch. Lindsay, you've done all 3, correct?
I have done all 3. And in fact, it was just a first watch of season 3. So yeah. I am all caught up.
Actually, we've watched the same amount of what we do in the shadows. Actually,
exactly. We've both seen it once. We're good. We've done all the research. Just at different times.
And I've absolutely seen it. I have not watched it since season 3 aired last year. And I remember one very gigantic moment that I will not say right now, because I think at some point, perhaps we'll like try to hype the show up in terms of if you're like, I've never watched the show, what is it? We'll try and do a little bit of like, why do we love it so much? But there is a wild moment in the season 3 finale that I don't know. I'm very nervous for season 4 in the most excited way possible. Yes, but I've only seen season 3 once. I will watch it. I will rewatch it before next week. But admittedly, I did not get the chance to watch it before this preview pod. There's lots of stuff in the world right now. It's very busy.
it's a very busy time. There's not time to watch all of the content, plus there's life, there's all kinds of stuff. But I'm very excited for season 4, especially because, as I mentioned, I didn't know there was a season 3, so it's really this beautiful continuation where I've hardly had to wait at all.
So what we do in the shadows, it's based off of the 2014 film of the same name, what we do in the shadows. I found this movie randomly on Netflix one night, and I think it's my favorite movie. I think that between Monty Python and the Holy Grail and what we do in the shadows, I don't know which one of those two movies I've seen more time. Probably Monty Python, because it's been around longer. But I thought the movie was hysterical. We were talking today about Taika Waititi. He does have an upcoming film coming out this week, Thor: Love and Thunder, which is maybe getting questionable reviews. And I was like, yeah, but Taika Waititi doesn't make bad things, Lindsay. He just makes the best things in the world.
Exactly. Truly inconceivable that he can make anything bad. When I discovered this movie, a friend of mine had recommended it to me, and I was like, I've never heard of this. What are you talking about? And I was telling you that he was like, oh, I've just changed your life. Because in watching What We Do in the Shadows, I then found Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. It's nonstop hits with this guy.
You're an Office fan, correct?
Of course. Yes.
Yes. And I feel like What We Do in the Shadows has big Office energy. I mean, it's a mockumentary, idea, the documentary. And I just always if you've never seen it before, the thing I always tell people, if you haven't seen it, there's a scene where the guy's like, yeah, you haven't done the dishes in 800 years, please could you do the dish? And it's just the idea of these very old vampires living in a flat together is just hilarious. It's so good. It's so clever riffing on all the vampire stuff that we know and love. I haven't said Strigoi in this podcast yet, but I'll say Strigoi for our Bojo recaps of Friends. And then it gets made into a TV show, which I was skeptical about because that's a dangerous thing to take a thing I very much love and then try to make a TV show out of it. And it just instantly worked. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was very skeptical as well. And honestly, when I heard that they were still making new seasons, I had the thought a little bit of how long can they do this before the novelty wears off? It's super funny as like a 90-minute movie. How long can they drag this out? And honestly, it's still totally holding up. I think that they've done a great job of pivoting into now they kind of have through lines throughout season three, where I think the first two seasons were more one-off episodes, kind of standalone a bit more, where now I think they're like building out longer stories. And I just think it works so well. I love what you're saying about the super low stakes stuff of like, I have these roommates for 800 years and they're terrible.
Yeah. Whenever Nando is like house meeting in the fancy room, it's just like, it's just like, they just all live together because they're vampires. They're like a little vampire coven. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. When I was trying to decide what I should say as my opening line, it was going to be between vampire co-host lasts forever and we must be having a secret meeting because I see her in the fancy room.
I think really like super breakout star of the show, Colin Robinson. My love for Colin Robinson.
Yep.
I feel like we're gonna have to get into like spoiler territory, but I'll give you the one last pitch. It's like incredibly funny. I think all these stars, you know, the movie takes place in New Zealand, but then they transport it to famously Staten Island for the TV show. Although it's filmed, Lindsay, in Toronto, Ontario, and I have walked past the set being filmed multiple times because they film down near where I live.
I discovered that it was filmed in Toronto because there's a scene where they are on a city bus and I went, do all buses just look the same like in every Toronto city? Yeah. This one looks exactly like a Toronto bus. And indeed, it's in Toronto.
There's a store I go to that is used in episode two where the witches store. Guillermo has to go and like do undercover shopping. I think Colin Robinson says if he wants to do a snoop and poop, go and snoop and also ask if they have a bathroom, which is tremendous. But I recognize the store. It's like right near where I live. So I mean, there's a reason you and I are covering this, is because it's basically a Canadian show. You know,
basically a Canadian show. We have the Toronto connection. No one else could do it. Plus, we have a bit of vampire energy, so it's great.
That's true. I think that's true. So they translate it to, you know, their roommates in Staten Island. You have Kevin Novak as Nandor the Relentless, Matt Berry as Laszlo, Natasha Demetrio as Nadja. Harvey Gillian as Guillermo and Mark Proshk. I don't know how he's Proksh. He's a very interesting name. As Colin Robinson, much easier to pronounce name. And they just play on all the vampire trips. It's very fun, which we'll get into because I saw some tweets this week, Lindsay, that I would love to chat about in terms of vampires. I very much love the satire version of the show and sort of all the different, you know, all the episodes are like, oh, they're doing a vampire bit, you know, bit. Oh, wow. Well, we're going to have to...
No, we're leaning into it. Take a bite out of that bit. Oh, incredible. Yes. I do want to say, just before we get into some of the trope stuff, I do want to say one of the big differences from the movie to the show, the addition of Colin Robinson, can't get enough of it. I know we're going to talk about him way more, but I just think it's such a great spin that they don't have in the movie that I think is just adds so, so much to this show compared to the movie. Incredible. So can't wait to talk about Colin Robinson.
It's hilarious. This energy, he's an energy vampire who feeds off of like draining humans by basically being boring or frustrating. And just the like, I think the thing you were saying before about like, season three, season four, they've renewed it for another two seasons. Mm-hmm. But like every time they do something with Colin, that's like a new take on how he's like draining energy. It's so funny. It's so good. It's hilarious. Just works. They brought in, I can't remember her name, but she's in season one and she plays, Vanessa Beyer plays Evie or Evie, who's an emotional vampire who drains.
I think that was why it was emotional vampire Evie.
It's so good. I mean, this show is so clever. I mean, it's Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement both executive produced the show. I'm not sure how much like writing they do. They certainly appear in the show a few times, and it's just tremendously funny. So I'm very excited to check it. Comedies can be hard to cover because I feel like I'm going to come on the show and be like, wow, that joke was really funny.
I know, and I historically have covered good TV, and yeah, it ends up being me just being like, so isn't that line funny? And then it's like, yes, that is a funny line, Lindsay. Well done jotting it down.
But one thing I was even surprised from when I rewatched is how much stuff that is still relevant in later seasons happens like very early on in the show, to the, I think even in the first episode or two episodes, the Baron being introduced sets off like a catalyst of events that still matter in the show. And so I'm very impressed by like, yeah, it does have these like through lines and storylines that I think like we can get into and sink our teeth into. Incredible. Be prepared for more of this stuff.
Never stop. This is going to be our trademark. If you hate this, leave now, I guess. Yeah.
And every episode, we're going to bring in a different energy vampire who will just make the podcast incredibly boring and just
suck the life out of you.
Maybe my new bit should be like, every time I make a factual mistake about a show, I'll just say that I'm actually just an energy vampire. It's like doing this on purpose, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we meant to suck the life out of this. We were intentionally bringing it down by frustrating people who are like, actually, it's like, no, you fell for our trap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, should we talk about the show? We're going to fully spoil the show now, I think. So if you haven't watched, go watch it. There's three seasons of delightful TV and then a fourth one on the way coming. And we'll be here each and every week to recap the episodes, probably about a day later. Probably drop like on Thursday. If the episode comes out on Tuesday, you'll probably get the podcast on sort of Thursday morning. Give us some time. Because we can't podcast during the day is the problem. That's when the sun goes down and we can come out of our coffins and our familiars can wake us up. So give us some time each week. So if you have not watched, I would suggest going to watch. But in the meantime, we're going to spoil the heck out of the show.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're probably going to frame this a little bit as going season by season, but there is a risk of some stuff popping up early. So
true.
Be prepared.
If you have like watched season one, you could listen for a bit, I guess. But yeah, you're in danger of being spoiled. I'll just go watch it and then come back. But
good advice.
All right, where should we start, Lindsay?
Oh, I guess we should start in season one. Do you want to start by introducing our characters?
Yeah, so I mentioned all the actors before, but basically we have Nandor the Relentless, this very old sort of knight figure. He has a thick accent that I'm not even sure exactly where he's from. He once was a bloodthirsty leader of Al-Kalandar, I believe. It's like southern Iran, which
He says he's a soldier in the Ottoman Empire, so that's easier to pronounce.
Yes, fair enough. He's like the leader of the group, kind of. In many ways he's like the one often calling house meetings, and he has this familiar, Guillermo, who he has promised that he will make a vampire one day.
Yes, Guillermo's been working for him for 10 years when the show opens, and there's a moment where Nandor is going to be like, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
There's a really, again, we're going to like start, but there's a bit where like none of them can remember Guillermo's last name. Like in season three, maybe even. Great. Guillermo is he's so great. I mean, they often I feel like people often be described as like the heart of a show. I don't know if anybody embodies that more than Guillermo de la Cruz, Nandor's familiar.
Yes, and just instantly leaps off the screen, I think, in that role where he's instantly just like, yeah, I'm totally here for my master. I want to do everything for him. I'm going to make his life easier. One day he's going to make me a vampire. Clearly thinks of himself as being kind of the best friend of Nandor. And then is just being walked over constantly.
But it's also, I think what's so funny, because like he is this sort of like, he does get walked over, but he has such a desire to be a vampire. Like he loves Interview with a Vampire. He wants to be Armand from Interview with a Vampire. He's so like adorable, and like nothing would run without Guillermo. Everything gets cleaned, bodies get, you know, cleaned up, blood gets spilled. He's often wiping his own shirt with a Tide. Tied to go remove any blood. He's so sweet. He's so cute. And I just love that contrast of like, he's so sweet. And also he wants to be a vampire who kills humans.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's a moment too where Nandor is like, fine, I'll give you this special treat, and is like flying around in front of a mirror so that it holding on to Guillermo so it looks like he's flying. And he's just so excited about it. He's like, it looks like I'm flying. It's happening. And I think it perfectly encapsulates him as a character.
I totally agree. I think it's when I was sort of writing my notes for season one and two, I actually like lumped Nandor and Guillermo together as a lot of their storylines. I mean, they're so involved with each other. And then Laszlo and Nadja, obviously, who we'll get to next, being this married couple, their storylines. And then there's also Colin Robinson. yeah, I just love the Guillermo Nandor dynamic where like Nandor is so naive to like the world and actually what Guillermo, and there's often like he'll like protect him in a very much like, you know, in a sibling way of like, you can't like, no, you can't make fun of my sibling, but like I can make fun of my sibling.
Yes.
So he'll often be like, Nadja, you can't order him around. And he'll be like, okay, master, what do you need me to do? And it'd be like, exactly what Nadja just told you to do.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's so cute. In like the worst way possible. And then we have, yeah, Nadja of Antipaxos, Greek Romani vampire, who turned Laszlo into a vampire, and they are married. In season one, she's very obsessed with Gregor. I totally forgot about Gregor, who continues to be reincarnated and subsequently decapitated every time.
Every single life that he has, he is decapitated every time.
He comes
time
back as a horse, decapitated. Yeah. He comes back as a, you know, a washerwoman, decapitated.
Yes.
And in, she always recognizes him.
Yes, in this iteration, he is Jeff, and he is like a security guard at a parking garage or something, and she finds this very disappointing, but...
It's so good. We'll get into that, because I think there's some very funny stuff there. And then we have her husband, Laszlo, British vampire. He's certainly the horniest of all vampires.
Without a doubt, yes. And, yeah, he has some really glorious moments of him just being kind of the fancy one of the group, where he thinks of himself as being the fanciest one. He seems to be the most skilled in terms of hypnosis and those kinds of powers. And yeah, definitely quite a horny character.
He's the horniest of all vampires. I feel like Matt Berry is so good that I feel like even me, I'm like I'm a very prudish person actually, and yet this is one of my favorite shows. And somehow like Matt Berry totally like sells me on it every time. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll like go along. Like, there's a whole episode in season one, I think it's the penultimate episode of season one, that's all about them hosting an orgy, and I'm just like, oh, this is hilarious. And I think any other TV show trying to do that, I would turn it off immediately. But gosh, Matt Berry is so good. I mean, all of the people that they've cast here are like really incredible, which I think like why the show works so well, just the comedic timing of these, like the five leads. But Matt Berry, I feel like I feel like there's people who in their rankings of these characters, some people have like Laszlo number one with a bullet, and some people are like, no, by far he is like the lowest on my list. I feel like he's a very polarizing character.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. I think the voice that he has adds so much to every single line that he delivers that I think that it makes it impossible not to have at least some affection for him. But I definitely can understand people being like, he's either the best character that's ever graced my screen or this man is insufferable.
And I am probably in the camp where I very much like him. And I think his alter ego is my favorite character that's ever appeared on TV.
Couldn't agree more. Can't wait.
An episode that also features Mark Hamill. If you're like, if you still were like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch, and I will listen to the podcast anyway. Mark Hamill plays a vampire. So, and then we have Colin Robinson, the energy vampire, lives in the basement, is frustrating and boring and just drains human. He goes to work because that's like the best place to train your coworkers. And I just feel like as soon as I saw this commentary of like, the energy vampire at work was like, oh yeah, I know this person. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, her vampire's real. Like, her energy vampire's real even?
Yeah. Certainly. Yeah. And Colin Robinson, the only one who can walk around during the day, has great disdain for the fact that the rest of them can't. He can just go into work and get stronger by the minute. And it's always incredible to see him interacting with his roommates where they're all just like, stop it, you're slowly killing me.
Yes, because notoriously one of the only vampires that can feed on other vampires as well. Exactly. This whole thing, Colin Robinson is really, I think, like the standout of this show, the breakout star of what we do. Maybe Harvey Gillian as well as Guillermo could fit that bill as well. But Colin Robinson, a delight, I have to say.
Yes. Yes, an absolute delight. No question. Yeah.
So these are our five main characters. We'll meet many other characters along the way. But where do we want to start with season one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first sort of big storyline that I have in here is that the Baron is coming. The Baron.
Maybe it's now a good time, perhaps, because the Baron is, when I saw the Baron, I was like, I love this show. Like, I knew I was going to love it. But I do really love the Baron as this character, just this incredibly old, like very, very old, decrepit vampire. When he like pops out of his coffin and it's just this old man, but then he just like moves in a way that is like not an old man. And it's so creepy and so hilarious and fun all at the same time.
Yes, he's got this walk that's very like sultry or something. Yes. I don't know. But he's just so repulsive to look at. And at one point they're going to go out on the town and he's got this hat on and wearing Colin Robinson's clothes. And Nadja's going to say like, you can only make so many jokes that he's joking about being a vampire because look at him.
Yes, because I feel like I think part of the charm of the show is that like nobody realizes they're vampires, even though they're very clearly like they don't hide their teeth. Like they're very much have pointy teeth. They're in such old timey garb. And I love that just nobody is ever like, you guess vampires? And then, I mean, the odd time that they do, they'll just hypnotize them. But I think one of my most used gifs ever on online is the one where they go out with the Baron and they drink blood of people who had done drugs. And Nandor's like, we drank the blood of these people who were very high and now we're wizards, with while he has like a cone on his head. It's just one of the most delightful sequences in television I've ever seen.
It's truly incredible. And then they're like chanting along the way, like, we drank drug blood. It's so good. I will say I have a very intense thing about vomit. There are a lot of vomit scenes in this.
Well, they can't especially eat people food. So
yeah. Not ideal, but it's so over the top in the show that it's like, okay, like they drank the drug blood, they ate the pizza. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I think Nadja, she Jeff, which is also another bit where she can't, she always forgets Jeff's name. She's always like Jez.
Or Jesh.
Jesh. And he takes her to the carnival and they try to eat popcorn and she like immediately like projectile vomit. There's a lot of projectile vomiting in
this show. Yes, a lot of it. I was not a fan, but you know, it's fine.
But the Baron is such a delight. But the thing I was going to stop down and say here is the other day, something came along my Twitter feed and we're going to get a little bit serious for a moment. I know we're talking about a comedy. But one thing I just felt like was when I saw it, I was like, oh, we should probably address this, which is there's some stuff out there that I sort of, and it makes total sense that basically when like Dracula was written, like a lot of like tropes were inserted to like be to affiliate basically vampiricism with like anti-Semitism, that basically like you know, there's a lot of stuff that like basically Bram Stoker, a lot of evidence to show that like that connection there of like basically using tropes that were used against Jewish people to like put them onto Dracula and then therefore vampires, even like the idea of like taking over the world, which is the thing that the Baron comes and is like, you guys came, you sailed over to America like many years ago with the like notion that you would like take over America. And then like the satire here is that then they're like, well, we could try to take over Staten Island, and like the Baron not realizing like what Staten Island is. Yes. Okay. Staten Island, take it over.
Yes. We've got our street and part of Ashley Street.
Yes. It's so good. It's so good. But that like some of the tropes that they're like this things that it's very interesting because they're satiring vampire lore, which there are some like the evidence to show that like it's linked basically to anti-Semitism. So it's a very like complicated thing because the show is like, yes, doing satire. It's like satirizing that. So anyway, I think I just wanted to like address it as a thing that I had saw come up recently.
Yeah, no, and I think it's definitely worth sort of stopping down on. And I think especially with the like, have you taken over America yet? Like, I think that rings true of a lot of the, I mean, one of the articles I was reading was like a lot of these dog whistles are more like foghorns. Like, I think it sounds a lot like a lot of anti-Semitic rhetoric. And there are tons of articles out there. I think it was sort of jarring to me to realize how much I wasn't thinking about this while watching this show.
I know, I've never, I mean,
vampire content,
it's just so like part of culture, I think, you know, from like, you know, I mean, Dracula, like one of, you know, this old text, and you know, like Twilight had its moment, you know, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I've never thought about it either, but you're like, Ace does make sense. There's a lot of stuff like trying to debunk that, so like I don't really know. I feel like, you know, it's tricky because like at some point can you like separate those two, that like it happened but then like vampire tropes have become this, like is it still stoking anti-Semitism for their like vampire tropes to exist,
yeah,
which is
yeah and I think probably not the time for me to have made that pun, but anyway, yeah, I think one of the things that was the article that I was drawing on kind of the most in preparation for recording this with you was by Rob Silverman Asher. It's in Hey Alma. And one of the things that they talk about is that the more positive the representation of vampires have become, like if you look at Twilight or something like that, the less these sort of anti-Semitic tropes are part of it. And so they're almost saying that it's like you can't continue to conflate these two ideas and still have it be a positive representation. So they're sort of moving toward a Twilight thing where it's like, look how beautiful and successful and whatever these people are. And it's like, and at the same time, moving away from anti-Semitism. So I can definitely see people saying, you know, this maybe doesn't hold true anymore, but I think it's definitely something worth acknowledging and bringing up. And lots of articles out there. I Googled it and tons of stuff came up. So there is lots of reading you can do if this is of interest.
Yeah, I saw one tweet and I was like, oh boy, just about to launch into the show. Which, like, again, I think that, like, you know, I don't think Taika Waititi is Jewish. I'm not sure Jermaine Clement is that. Like, you know, but I do, there is a sense to me that, like, I have not heard this. So I feel like it hasn't, like, quite broken through, that, like, this is a thing that we should be acknowledging. And I feel like if it could get to Taika Waititi, I do feel like, I just watched Our Flag Means Death, a show that he also was an executive producer on. I just felt like, in terms of some of the stuff that was there, I felt like in such good hands, and not that, like, if he's not the person who knows it, that he'll, like, take the steps to, like, find out what they need to be doing on the show. So I can't expect anything like that to come, like, this season. I sort of stumbled upon something on Twitter, and then, like, you know, there's a bunch of articles out there, but yeah, I think you just want to take a moment to acknowledge it.
And I'm certainly not an expert on any of this, so definitely I think we would be open to hearing people's thoughts, but to me, I have the impression that as the show moves forward, it moves away from a lot of this did you take over the world yet kind of rhetoric, which I think is a net positive in that direction of moving away from sort of these more problematic ideas. It does come back a little bit later on, but in much less dramatic fashion, where I think the first few episodes, especially the ones including the Baron, there's so much conversation around that. And it's like, how much have you taken over?
And again, it's like satirizing it a little, you know, and then they're like, none of it. And they're like, where are we? Like Staten Island. And like, all right, well, we must conquer Staten Island.
Exactly.
It's so funny. It's so good. Where else would we go in season one?
So the Baron, his kind of whole thing is that everyone is extremely afraid of him, and he has a very creepy familiar who sort of prowls around the house, and then he demands to be taken out on the town, kills a ton of people, and ultimately RIP Baron.
Guillermo opens the door in the morning, and he's still drunk, I believe, and he ends up in the line of sight of the sun and does not make it out alive.
Yes, he is all hopped up on drug blood, and he falls down the stairs and lands exactly where the sun is going to fall when Guillermo opens the door, and quite gruesome fashion bursts into flame.
I love it. I love the look of the Baron, and I love the like him being killed by sunlight, especially because I did figure, because he shows up pretty quickly. I think in episode one, the end of episode one, he like comes out of his coffin. And so I was expecting him to be like a player in the show, and then he's just like, absolutely not. He's killed by Guillermo. Which also, I think, I don't know how much of the show, like, I don't know how much they knew that they were going to get more than a season one, how much of an arc they ever had planned out for the show. But the Guillermo stuff, even from the very beginning, I think it's so well done. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but like, he kills the Baron. We found out at the end of season one that he discovers he's a descendant of Van Helsing, a famous vampire hunter. And this stuff, to me, this is just brilliant, that like, he's so obsessed with becoming a vampire, and yet he's incredibly good at killing vampires. It's hilarious.
I think it's really well set up, and he's so resistant to it at first, especially here where this is clearly an accident. He didn't mean to kill the Baron, but this is the first moment of him being a vampire killer, which obviously he doesn't want to be because he can't let anybody know that this happened. But I do want to just like just flag before we move off of the Baron, where one of the things that I really love that is about the Baron is that he is just like known for his sexual prowess.
The scene so, where
he's always giving you instructions right before the moment of climax, and you're supposed to have been listening.
Nadja and Laszlo. And this is where I thought the show is like weirdly progressive in a way as mm-hmm. well, where like Nadja and Laszlo, like I think we get the scene first with Nadja being like, I had a secret affair with the Baron, you know, and mm-hmm. then like literally the next scene is Laszlo being, and Nadja doesn't know this, but I had a torrid love affair with the Baron. They both clearly slept with him, and they're both like giving the exact same details of his like sexual prowess. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's so good.
He expects you to have listened during the climax. Yeah, it's very funny. And I think you're absolutely right. I think they do a good job of just being like, yeah, like they both had sex with the Baron and he was great.
There's a scene, the orgy scene as well. It's very much like Laszlo is like sitting on a couch, like mimicking a lot of things that are like, again, mm-hmm. just like sexuality. And, you know, it's very fluid in vampire culture. Yes. It's hilarious. Yeah, the Baron, I think, like, boy, he makes a real impact on the show, despite being in like six episodes, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a quick turnaround for the Baron.
Yeah. So this is going to set up the trial, that the three vampires who are accused of killing, the familiar has overheard that they were planning on killing, which they totally admit. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but saying you're planning to kill someone doesn't mean you actually you killed them.
Yes. Yes, they had Operation Accidentally Kill the Baron. And they're like, right. We can't do that. Or at least we have to give it a better name.
And they're found guilty, even though Guillermo admits that he killed the Baron. The council does not believe that Guillermo could kill the Baron. Nandor takes the blame. They're all going to have death by sunlight. But luckily, Colin Robinson saves them with a giant umbrella.
Yes.
A real thing in the TV show that we watched. Yeah.
And then they all turn into bats and he carries them home in a little cat carrier.
Yeah, we have not yet talked about one of my favorite things of the show, which is that every time they transform into a bat, I think mostly Laszlo and Nadja just yell bat before they turn into a bat, and often yell human form before they turn back into human. And I love, there's a big storyline in season one, not a big storyline, but where this girl Jenna gets turned into a vampire, which also upsets Guillermo a lot when she shows up and she's a fan, and he's like, I'm pretty sure she got turned into a vampire, and that's pretty friggin' annoying.
Yes. Yeah. So part of Guillermo's tasks as a familiar is to supply everyone with a fresh supply of virgins for them to drain. And he's like, well, it just so happens that the LARPing community is a very ripe area for this. And Jenna is one of the LARPers, and Nadja just takes a shine to her and decides to turn her into a vampire.
There's a Guillermo trying to collect virgins will be a running story, at least through the first two seasons. I'm not sure how much it came up in season three. There's a couple of times when he's looking through a notebook and you can see things that they've written down. And one was, as I was saying, I think what we do in the shadows or Monty Python, the Holy Grail, the movie I've watched most time. There's the Monty Python Appreciation Club is also a location where you could find virgins, which I did feel a little directly attacked, but that's fine, Guillermo. Yeah,
it's fine, but also I don't know that it's not true.
I would probably agree. But there's a scene where Jenna, who's turned to bat, she says, she just says, like, what happens to your clothes? Like, oh, we've never thought about that. You turn into a bat, your clothes disappear.
I expected more of Jenna in this show, honestly. She's really not around a lot.
I feel like perhaps, I don't know if the timing of this would work out, but, played by, what is
Beanie
her?
Beanie Feldman? Is that her name?
Yes. Beanie Feldman. This is not Jonah Hill's sister.
Exactly. She was just recently played Monica Lewinsky, which made me wonder if she was busy doing that.
Right. So that's in 2021. So yeah, I wonder if she just, and then she was in Lady Bird right before. She was in Booksmart in 2019. So I feel like perhaps the,
How to Build a Girl.
Yeah, so I feel like perhaps the film and TV starring roles maybe came calling, and they maybe had plans for Jenna that don't ultimately pan out in the TV show. But
I think that's probably right. She's so good when she is on screen, though. I think she brings a lot in terms of, like, she's so sweet, and she kind of thinks that Nadja wants to take her on this like sexual journey, and she needs to be open to it.
Yeah,
and
she's in college now.
She's in college now. At one point, the paramedics come because her roommate notices that she is literally dead. And she's just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for all the inconvenience I've caused everyone.
She wakes up right before she gets put into the ambulance. I'm so sorry.
She's going to reveal that her superpower is that she can turn invisible and just people don't notice her. And that's her superpower. And they don't do anything more with it after that. But I think she brings a lot when she is there.
It's very cute. It's a good storyline. I like it. Nacho actually gets like a lot more than I remember early on, because she has both the Gregor stuff happening and also turning Jenna into a vampire. Yeah, we have the trial. They get away. Nando tries to become a citizen, and I thought all this stuff was very fun. I love him being a fan of the 1990, the Dream Team.
That's one of my favorite lines of the entire season, is when they're like, why did you want to become a citizen in like the mid-90s? And he's like, I got five reasons. Names the Dream Team, has so the shoe, has the jersey, probably watched Space Jam.
That's true. Notoriously, you're maybe the number one Space Jam fan.
Yes, famously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but he can't complete the certificates. He can't say the word God when he does the oath.
Yeah.
He literally breathes fire out of his mouth. All this stuff is so great. Yeah. There's so much good stuff in the season one. The werewolves as well. City Council is very funny. When they're trying to figure out how to like overtake Staten Island, they go to City Council.
Colin Robinson clearly loves City Council, clearly shows up there all the time.
It's so good. When he's making his speech, Nandor like doing like a full-on like war speech, like a full-on like leader speech, trying to do, and it just doesn't work. Even in the citizenship test, I think that's where he tries to hypnotize the person, like the worker, and he's like, wow, it really seems like all these like government workers, they like don't have a soul, you know?
And it's funny because Nandor does seem to struggle with the hypnosis at the best of times, but with these government people, he's like, they are just immune.
They're immune. Yeah. We have a whole orgy episode where you learn that like Lasso has a extensive vampire themed porno.
Says vampire sex is like pizza, even when it's bad, it's good.
Yes. Although Nadja disagrees.
Yeah, it's fine.
The it goes very poorly, the orgy, and then not because Laszlo is like professing his love, and I was like, please don't tell anybody, like, this actually doesn't count as an orgy, so please don't tell anybody it was a bad time. It's all good stuff. Yeah,
like I honestly, my notes are just comprised of a series of lines, like just one-off lines, usually Nandor accent lines of just being like, my burns. He's so good. And also I wanted to flag, there's a moment where Laszlo is in bat form and gets captured by animal control. That is all glorious, where they're like, they let him go, and then Colin Robinson's like, anyway, Nandor just released a sick bat out into the wild. It wasn't Laszlo, it was just a sick bat.
Colin being sort of like almost a voice of reason at times, like being the most well-adjusted to like America, because he goes works in an office, is like just delightful when he will turn to the kid, like when he just like is speaking actual common sense. Is great. It's really good. He does get trapped by the bat. The werewolves, we have I don't remember what his name is, but the guy who plays sort of the leader of the Arj Barker was heavily in Flight of the Conchords. He had a big role in that show, so I was very delighted to see him there. That's the episode with Evie, the emotional vampire. A delightful episode.
So good. Like, oh my God, this whole season, truly incredible.
Yeah. The season ends with Guillermo having done like 23andMe tests essentially for them, and finding out that Nandor has over 200,000 living descendants, which he's very proud about, and he goes to see a 94-year-old woman. And I love the scene where he's floating at her window and they keep saying, don't tap on her window. He immediately taps on her window and she has a heart attack and dies, and he goes like, I'm not sure what you guys tried to urge me on to tap on her window.
He's like, Colin Robinson, you goaded me.
You goaded me.
If by under no circumstances should you tap on her window, you think I goaded you, then yes, I guess I goaded you into tapping on her window.
Once again, Colin Robinson, just complete voice of reason.
It's so good. Truly incredible. I love this so much. And that is where we get the Van Helsing reveal for Guillermo. So
we get that. We also find out that Gregor, every time he's been decapitated, has been because of Lasso. The show does this really fun thing of like using old arts, like old style art, to like depict them in their past, and we did get a bunch of like Gregor's you know, where he's been reincarnated, and then they show them all again in the finale, except that Laszlo is in the picture decapitating Gregor.
Yes, every time.
Yeah. And so like Nadja like falls in love with Gregor. Oh, and he doesn't even decapitate Gregor. Gregor drives off in his motorcycle and decapitates himself.
Yes. Yeah. Laszlo has some very evocative topiaries in the garden, and I think he's like trying to protect them or something, or right. maybe he's sculpting, I don't know. Anyway, and yeah, he ends up beheading Jeff unintentionally in this case. Oh yeah, I also wanted to flag, we have the cursed witch hat whole thing as well.
Oh,
that comes back too.
It's kind of my least favorite thing, but why does he want it so bad if it just keeps being cursed?
I know. So he has a cursed witch hat. And he's like, and Nadja hates it. She's like, it has a bloody huge curse on it. And he's just obsessed with it.
It does become very important later. Yes. That's the episode. That's Manhattan. That's when they go out as well. This is where with Simon the Devious, played by Nick Kroll. And this is pretty good when the like whole nightclub explodes. So that's season one, basically. Anything else you missed? There's so much good. This is like a really perfect season of TV.
I know, it's impossible. Like I'm scrolling through it. I just have so many lines. You can't flag them all. Just watch it. It's wonderful.
I mean, we didn't even do like the trial, and when they reveal who's on the council, and like half of them are just people who have played vampires in movies.
Yes, it's so good. Yeah, we have Taika Waititi comes back. Jemaine is in there. It's a very loaded cast of people on Swinton. The vampire council.
Mm-hmm. Paul Rubens.
First introduction of Kristen Schaal as well. She's going to appear throughout.
The guide. Wesley Snipes trying to zoom in on a call.
So good.
Danny Trejo. Yeah, it's really great. It's really good. But that's season one. It's really perfect. It's like really tremendous television. I love it immensely. Let's take a quick commercial break. We come back. We'll chat through the rest of the seasons. All right, we are back. Let's chat through season two. We start with Haley Joel Osment shows up at the beginning of season two.
Oh my god,
Laszlo and Nadja's new familiar.
I did not make that connection.
That it was Haley Joel Osment?
Absolutely not. That's incredible.
Yeah, he plays Topher, new familiar, who they love and Guillermo hates.
Yeah, Guillermo hates him so much, and with good reason, because this guy is one of those classic people who's doing nothing, and then as soon as anyone shows up, he pretends to be working super hard, and they all love him, and he seems so cool, and yeah, he's gonna die very gruesomely.
I did like this play on like zombies in the vampire show, where Wallace, played by Benedict Wong, who's you talk about Taika Waititi having a Marvel movie. Benedict Wong has become pretty famous in Doctor Strange and in Marvel. He's a necromancer. He brings him back to the life, but Guillermo's like, I'm pretty sure he's a zombie.
Yes. Yeah. And they try to kill him so many times. We have Nandarth is like, this effing guy. He just refuses to die.
That's so good. Yeah. And it turns out that Wallace is a bit of a cheat, as it were. He sees vampires making miniature license plate keychains, which is amazing.
Yes. I loved this a lot because after he basically saddles them with this horrible zombie, they come back to demand a refund. He's like, okay. You guys can each have a free keychain. And they're all so excited about it. Nandor just gets Steve, because at one point he's like, this would make a good gift for someone named Steve. Like, Guillermo ends up with a Gigi one.
Yes. There's no Gizmo, but he'll take Gigi. Yeah.
Yeah. Nadja just gets Nadia. Close. Pretty close.
I have to imagine you had a name that was very, you go to a gift shop and you're looking for your name. You had no trouble finding. Maybe other than the fact that it'd be sold out.
It was always an EY for me, which was a problem.
That's a big problem.
Basically a completely different name as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have this, we have ghosts now just performing a seance to make some ghosts appear.
Yes. I love Nadja and how she is so, she kind of hates all other supernatural stuff, where she gets the 23andMe thing and she's like, nope, like this is a witch thing. Witches are semen stealers. Like she hates witches. She hates ghosts. She hates all of this.
I don't remember which one of them it is, but they're like, one of them is like, maybe it could be a good thing to have your semen stolen.
Sounds like Laszlo.
It does sound like Laszlo. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
This is also the episode where Colin Robinson, I think, starts his trying to get people to say, it smells like, well, he is saying, it smells like Updog in here.
Yes.
which he does eventually get when he conjures his dead grandmother. And after she does the joke and she would like to know more about his life and catch up, he says, "No, I don't have time." And he closes the book. And D7's.
It's so good. Yeah. He's like, "I've been experimenting with humor as a way to drain energy." And then he's like, "Yeah, does anyone here have any updog? Because if I didn't know what that was, I'd probably ask. Maybe you should ask me." Oh, he's so funny.
None of them biting, as it were. Yeah.
Until grandma arrives. Yeah.
And this is also the premiere of Nadja Dahl. Dahl Nadja.
Yes, I felt sort of complicated about Nadja Dahl, where I didn't think that I liked that character, but now I'm all in. She's great.
I feel like I was surprised that when she shows up, I feel like she's much more Nadja Dahl in season three than she ever is in season two. I don't think they really like found what to do with Nadja Dahl until season three.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think that's why I felt ambivalent about the doll, where I had only seen the first two seasons. And they I feel like they just hit their stride way more with the Nadja Dahl.
Yeah. She basically just like is kind of like around when like she can like sort of like Guillermo comes home in the finale and she tells Guillermo where they went. But she's really like not used. She kind of like is almost exclusively gives like the Jim Halpert to the camera look until season three, where they're like, "No, just make her a mini Nadja." Like that'll be way better.
No. There is a truly incredible moment later in season two with the Nadja Dahl where Colin Robinson goes to kiss Nadja.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, "No, I didn't actually want to kiss her. Like, it's just a really incredible form of draining because it's so awkward." He's like, "But I did want to kiss the doll. And when she rejected me, it stung. It really stung." And like really the face on the doll, like it's hilarious. It's one of my favorite moments.
It is very good. We get the superb owl party in
glorious
season two.
Line.
Yes, which is great. But then the guy makes a joke about how they must be vampires. They realize they must double hypnotize him. And then causing
give
them
him the brain scramblies.
Yeah, they give him the brain scramblies. Yeah. And Nadja meets Sean's mother, who she hung out with when Joan was a child, which is very funny as well.
Yes, and this old lady is just going on and on about like, "You used to walk me on the ceiling and stuff," and they're just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know why she's like this." And then cuts to Nadja being like, "Oh yeah, that's all true."
That's all true. It's so good. It's so funny. And this is where Guillermo's continuing to search for virgins, finds the mosquito hunting club, which he thinks will be prime opportunity. Turns out they are secretly vampire hunters.
Yes,
pretty good. And kind of like I feel like Guillermo should have like caught it, but then yeah, it's this one, and we get some great cameos here, specifically Craig Robinson showing up as Claude, the leader of the mosquito collectors of the Tri-State area.
Yes, a star, where he's like, "So how do you feel about mosquitoes, and what about other things that suck blood?" And then he's just so intense about it, where he's like, "He's worthy."
It's pretty great. The curse, when they realize Nandor hasn't checked his email in a while, he has an email that, forward. He's been cursed.
That whole sequence is great because he asks Guillermo to help him with his computer, and then he's like, "I know how to do it, like just give it to me." And then at one point Guillermo's like, "Oh, it went to sleep." He's like, "It's fine, I got it. Arise.
Arise."
So good. Love it so much.
And really, some of the best stuff is like them not understanding culture or technology.
Yes,
or
totally. Any, yeah, they're so scared about this curse that has come to them in the form of a chain email. And then they try to send it back to someone and they get a response from male demon or whatever. They're like, "It's a demon. Oh, God."
It's so funny. The idea that like just, I mean, they're not just riffing on stuff from like 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. They're also doing stuff from like 1999. It's tremendous.
Yes. Yes, the Macarena was taking the world by storm, and I just didn't have time to focus on anything else. I'm like, he missed an advanced screening of The Blind Side.
I think Colin had seen it. It's like that Sandy.
Sandy Bullock.
That's Sandy Bullock. But Colin is using the chain email to feed himself. But also this is where Gamera kills a full house, a family of vampires, which will become a big deal later as well.
Yes, this is quite a moment where Guillermo's very concerned because he tries to alert everyone that the Mosquito Club is coming to kill them. And then it turns out they have the wrong house. But this house is also completely full of vampires. Very scary twins going on, like creepy children. They almost don't make it out. One of them gets left behind, as we will see later. But everyone gets out because Guillermo is a star at killing vampires.
So good. We get Colin's promotion, where Colin becomes probably the most powerful vampire of all time, because he's voted at work and all of his subordinates have to listen to him. The best scene for me of this episode is when he's going around and he's learned that he's so powerful that one word, like one, and so he's just doing like working hard or hardly working. People just like falling,
collapsing.
Oh, they're dead. He does like the finger guns and they fall over. Boy.
This scene is probably the scene for which I have the most notes all in order. Okay. She's like, all of this is incredible.
I would like to hear them. Yes.
Oh my God. Stop talking to Joanna. She's my assistant. If you were a tree, what type of tree would you be? Please write me a 2000 word essay on why you chose maple. God. Yeah. They're arguing about where Colin Robinson came from. They're like, I think he just came with the house. And just, yeah, and there's a point where he starts multiplying. One of them insists that he should be going by Seaman, and then they die because they drain each other. And Nadja goes, now we lay to rest, Colin Robinson, and Seaman.
Isn't it because he goes, because Colin starts to start going, Seaman, you have to like, and he's like, you know, when you say that, it sounds like Seaman. It's like so stupid. Like,
I know.
Yeah, the fact that he grows so powerful that he duplicates himself, which then causes them all to be because they're just draining each other, is so good. This whole episode is like basically a bottle episode. It's so good. Yeah,
it's incredible. I think it's from a different episode, but I also have a line from him where he says, "The consensus on Instagram is that we underestimate the importance of self care."
Again. The most common sense character in the show. But Colin's promotion is followed up by, I think, my favorite episode of the entire show, which is On the Run, which is where Jim the vampire tracks down Laszlo for having a failed payment on rent in California 167 years ago, causing Laszlo to flee and become Jackie Daytona.
Oh my God. I'm so happy that you said this is your favorite episode, because I think I watched that episode and then immediately watched it again because it's I loved it so much. It is so good. I think I'm probably one of the people where I like Laszlo. He's fine. But if we were ranking characters, I think I'd probably have him at the bottom. Jackie Daytona gives him quite a bump in my love of Laszlo, where this episode, everything about it is perfection, not least of which the fact that he gets completely obsessed with the high school girls volleyball team and it's just like,
yes,
it's those girls, we got to do it for them, we got to send them to state. Like, he just cares so much and I love it so much.
So I mean, there's so many things that are just so like delightfully funny in ways that, like, I don't know, are so good. The fact that like nobody recognizes him as long as he has a toothpick in his
mouth. And wears jeans.
And wears jeans and cowboy boots. When both Jim and Laszlo are like, don't know each other, are vampires, and are trying to throw their beer over the, like, beer over their shoulder as to not throw up. Hilarious that Laszlo would become the owner of a bar at which he can never drink. The people just being like so obtuse, but like, yeah, he covered up all the mirrors. Like, we don't really know why. He's a little quirky.
He's so modest.
He's so modest. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone in town loves him. And I think that's a big part of the joy of it, is everyone is like, Jackie, you showed up and you just totally reinvigorated this town. You are just incredible. And at the same time, Laszlo being like, I could get out of here because this guy is track me down, but I made a promise to this town. And it's just so good. I love this sort of concept episode that is just so well done. I think it's absolute perfection.
It's funny. Yeah, I feel like last episode was a bottle, so this is also a bottle episode for Laszlo. We really don't get much of the other people at all.
We pop back just to see them very briefly. I think it's just that one-off scene showing Nadja being really upset and Colin Robinson trying to kiss her.
Which, I mean, is tremendous. We also, in this, he pays his debt with a singing fish.
Billy Bass.
Billy Bass, which he ends up destroying. And the lady's like, I'll just get you a new one. There's so many. Jim realizes he's been duped. Laszlo.
But like, was he duped? Because I feel like Laszlo legitimately was like, there's only one in the whole world and I don't know how it works. It seemed like he legitimately thought this thing was incredible.
Yes. I would agree that, like, Jackie Daytona also obsessed with the fish. He goes to leave and he buys a truck. He immediately crashes and he's like, it's embarrassing because that thing costs a ton of money.
This thing costs a fortune. I never learned to drive.
The episode is so good, and it also just says like Mark Hamill as a, and his name is literally Jim the Vampire. Like, it's amazing.
It was perfection. He's like, how did you know I'm a vampire? Like, it says it quite clearly on your business card.
Jim the Vampire.
Why are you talking like that? You said you're from Tucson.
Jackie Daytona, I would agree. It gives him like quite the stock rise. Simon the Devious shows up. His crew has mostly left him. He would like to try and get the Cursed Witch hat. He has Carol up there for me in terms of the Baron. Is like, I can't stop looking like this. Whatever effects they've done on this actor, I can't look away.
The Baron, I found the Baron very creepy, but also very funny. Carol, I find just hard to even look at.
Being weirdly obsessed with Guillermo because she knows that he's killed everybody. This is the episode where I feel like we get a lot of Guillermo Nandor stuff because Carol gets killed in self-defense and Nandor finds out and sort of protects Guillermo like meeting at the end, and he introduces all of his vampires, including Elvis, who shows up in this episode as a vampire who Laszlo turned into a vampire, and he says he's doing the roll call and he says, anybody seen Carol? And Nandor's like, yes, she's probably somewhere else and definitely totally alive.
And Guillermo didn't kill her.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to work on my accents. The show is like prime accent material, and I feel like I can't do any of them well yet.
Oh my god, the number of times that I've just been walking around being like, get me some of the soapy pins.
There's a thing he said when he's shopping for the party in season one that I can't. He's obsessed with this thing in the dollar store, but
humane thing and rip his head off.
This is also the episode where Colin Robinson is using social media to troll people, which is a lot harder, but it's worth it if you can. But slowly a troll has gotten all of his accounts banned. And we get this tremendous scene where Colin Robinson meets an actual troll who is offended by the word troll.
Yes, I hadn't actually apparently watched that episode yet. I didn't realize I hadn't gotten all the way to season two. So this is the first time I'd seen this episode. And I was like, this troll thing, I was so tickled. It's so good. Colin Robinson being all of these monsters on Twitter. I just love this idea that they're all just energy vampires. Like, maybe we would all feel better being on the internet if we thought of them that way.
Yep. The scene where like Colin Robinson, like the room is dark, but there's like seven laptops and he's lying on the bed with like his feet up while just like typing messages on the internet. Mm-hmm. How you know you've really got to them when they call you a dumbass and then using the word dumbass later. I live in my own basement, dumbass. And then just the semantic argument with the troll being like, I don't like, and he's like, yeah, but if you are doing the act of trolling, even if you're a troll, like, it's so stupid. It's so great.
It's incredible. I loved it so much. Great episode.
We had an episode where Laszlo has used the song Come On Eileen and believes he is the song's original writer.
Yes, that was so good. And it turns out there are all of these songs that he and Nadja collaborated on, and they've all been stolen.
And Colin Robinson is eager to set them up with a gig, knowing that old-timey music is the best way to absorb an audience's energy.
Yeah, he sends them to an open mic night and is like, you're going to want to play a lot of originals. That's what people really want to hear.
Yeah. And this is also Benji returns 40 years later, requesting to become a familiar as per the agreement. Which upsets Guillermo.
Guillermo's really upset about this, and this is where he's gonna leave and go hang out with Celeste. Is that her name?
Yeah, but played by Greta Lee. Tremendous casting here. Yeah. She's a frut, right? She's not really a vampire. Is that what?
That's right. Yeah. She pretends. She goes to there's like a familiar meeting or something like that that Benji wants to go to, and that's where they see Celeste. She's like, my master finally turned me. Like, I've decided that I'm going to have a policy going forward that I won't have anyone for more than 8 months before I turn them into a vampire. And so she accrues all of these familiars around her. And then it turns out she's just been faking it the whole time. And the vampire that she reports to is a 12-year-old girl who is very mean.
There's a scene in season one, too, where there's this familiar who's like questioning Guillermo early on. And then his vampires come and they're like a set of twin boys and he has to play their dad, which is very funny. The idea that like vampires never age from the moment they're turned is very funny.
Yes, and one of the familiars in that scene is a cat named Sam. Sam's a cat.
Sam's a cat. Yeah, using the toilet bucket.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, Sam. Sorry.
So that's the big thing in that episode, basically, is that Guillermo's gonna leave. He's gonna move out. Which, when Laszlo and Nandor are captured by witches, Nadja, Colin Robinson, and Guillermo eventually pursue them and track them the witches to a shop where Guillermo goes, this is where Guillermo goes inside. It's like, I need something for my
Snoop
eyes.
And poop.
And, yeah, this is the Snoop and poop. I'm not sure if I have food allergies or seasonal allergies. Well, he's lying. Yeah, the witches want their semen, a lot of semen, talk, to make a youth potion. Les was pretty excited, but it's pretty painful. Guillermo escapes and they rescue Laszlo and Nandor.
Yes, I do like this moment, or a bit of a subversion where we love to explain the joke, but a bit of a subversion here where the witches are these beautiful women and then they reveal themselves to be very, very old. And Nandor just goes like, MILFs, even better. Like, super jazzed about it. And it turns out that Guillermo's been watching a lot of Shark Tank. So he makes a pitch where he's like, you don't need to kill them. I can just like provide you with vampire semen all the time for 3% of the net profit.
Guillermo, deal maker. Yeah.
So they agree. That stuff is everywhere.
So gross.
So gross. And then we included Colin Robinson in the deal, and they said no.
That's right. We get this the finale, Nouveau Theatre de Vampires, which is Guillermo. Is this where is he totally gone, or is this where they've agreed that he gets days off?
He's been, I think this is where he has a day off possibly, because he's going to come back. I have it in my notes somewhere, but he's going to go back, and that's when he sees the invitation and is like, oh no, like everything is all falling apart because I wasn't here. Yeah, maybe it was when he was away. I don't know. Either way, he's not there. Everything's
are the episodes like there is the other one where like maybe that's in season three. When he starts to give him a day off. Leave, and so like the house is a total mess. And there's this great scene where Conrad slips in the blood. He goes, "How am I explaining this at work?" And he's like, "Well, why don't you just put on another one of your beige suits?" And he says, "Nah, just say I got hit by a bus."
So good.
He's just covered in blood.
It's incredible. And because I guess in my notes I have. Guillermo leaves Nandor during the season finale and the place is instantly falling apart. So their clothes haven't been washed in ages because Guillermo used to go to the dry cleaner. And so Colin Robinson's like, okay, I'll go. It's a treacherous journey. I might not make it back, but I'll try. And he's like, I just don't want them to think that I can do this all the time.
And Nandor is in his Team USA jersey again because the only thing he has clean. This is also where they can't remember Guillermo's name. And there's a great they do it just enough to be hilarious where Nadja keeps thinking, I think it might be Guillermo Biermo. She says it so hesitantly, but also later in the episode.
Yeah. My favorite part is when Laszlo goes, it could be his last name. He could be called Mickey Guillermo.
Colin looks and he says, yeah, there's 6 Mickey Guillermos.
Yeah, he says there are over 4,000 Guillermos in the New York metropolitan area, including 4 Mickey Guillermos.
So good. It's so stupid. It's just like the dynamic between all of them. They're all such rich characters that like you could just have the scene where they're all just like, you know, riffing, and it's hilarious. But yeah, they're very excited to go to this event. They wear their finest clothing. Guillermo, I do love when he trips on the blood as well. Yes. He looks at the invitation. He's like, oh, this is absolutely a trap. Like, they shouldn't. I hope they didn't go to this. And then the doll's like, yeah, they did go to it.
Yeah, they definitely went. And Guillermo has to go save them.
Yeah, we get another appearance from Vladislav, Jimin Clement, from the movie, who they basically blame these folks for a bunch of vampire deaths. And Guillermo comes and rescues and slaughters everybody. And he's a very good vampire hunter. It's a really badass moment for Guillermo.
Yes, it's incredible. Iconic moment. He just wipes all of them out. And nobody initially believed that it could be Guillermo, but then he's going to prove it.
They even have like a small child play him, I think, in the, yes. The play reenactment. I will shout out Vladislav. So they've gone through why these 4 are guilty of killing a bunch of vampires, and then they do an in memoriam segment. He goes, oh, a lot of deaths this year. And we're okay. And we're like, oh, I didn't realize he died. It's so good. So that's season 2. And again, I think that like the Baron storyline has had impact all the way up until the end of season 2 and into the beginning of season 3. I've watched the beginning of season 3, but I'm actually going to need you, Lindsay, to lead these recaps because, as I said, I was not able to find the time to catch up.
That's okay. Yeah. Yes. I can handle it. I got this. It's going to be fine. We're all in this together, everyone.
Yes.
All right. So season 3 is going to open up on basically right where we left off, where I think they say that Guillermo has killed like 70% of the most powerful vampires in the tri-state area. And they're just keeping him in a cell in the basement while they decide if they should kill him for being a vampire killer.
Colin Robinson getting a prodder this episode is very funny. I think of like being obsessed with power and being able to like basically bully Guillermo around.
Yes. Yeah. I felt like initially I was a bit skeptical of season three because they were making Colin Robinson just like make a million poop jokes, but that goes away. Yeah. Thankfully.
Yes.
But, yeah. And they're going to appoint basically everyone to lead the vampire council now, but Laszlo and Colin Robinson do not care about this.
I love this where they're like, anybody want to be the leader? And Laszlo's like, hell no.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. Yeah. And then Nandor and Nadia are both like, yes, absolutely. I want to be the leader. And there's only one chair. So yeah, there'd be more chairs. Yeah. Yes. It's very good. And like, I feel like this is a big increase in the Kristen Schaal throughout the entire season for season three.
Yeah, another Flight of the Conchords. I feel like that's where she got made her name a little bit. She's delightful, and I am kind of glad that they like realized that she's one of the funniest people on the planet and have her do more this season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, famously Sarah Lynn on BoJack also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, so great stuff. And then we also have, let's see, what else happens? Nandor has his love story throughout this, where initially he's trying to get Meg, who works at his gym.
Yes.
He tries to send Laszlo initially to go sweet talk her, but then that doesn't work. So basically each of them in turn goes to try to win over Meg.
Didn't she believe that Nandor and Guillermo like are in love, right? Believes that they're lovers.
Yeah. Yes, Guillermo goes, they have this cloak of, I don't know, duplication or something where they all end up looking like Nandor. And Guillermo goes in and he's like, there's this guy who I work with and he's just really special to me. And we have such an incredible relationship. And I just don't know how to tell him how I feel. And then she's like, I don't know. I really think like he'd probably respect it if you said how you feel. And he's like, oh my God, I realize what I've done.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Nandor is then going to move on to Gale, who turns out to be a werewolf.
Yes. I'm like the werewolf, because the werewolves were probably my favorite part and my most quoted line from the movie, which is when Rhys Darby is the leader of the werewolves, and they start swearing, and he says, hey, come on, guys. We're werewolves, not swearwolves. And so the vampires are my favorite part of the movie, and so I was glad to see them show up at the beginning of season one. But then they really are not around. So I'm glad that they're playing with werewolves. I love all of the, like, you know, they did zombies, the werewolf stuff. I love all of that stuff. So I was glad to see that be more werewolf content.
Rhys Darby, a true star. I love him so much and would have loved to see him in the show.
There was a rumor where they were making the werewolf spinoff movie. And I think this show kind of came out of that. But I would love to see Rhys Darby back on this TV show. I would love to see him on this TV show, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that would be wonderful. Yeah. I guess during this, Nandor is ultimately going to have to turn Gale into a vampire werewolf hybrid to save her life. And he's like, now we can get married. And she's like, I'm good. I'll see you in like 400 years.
Yeah, I mean, you'll live forever. Why rush it, you know?
Exactly. That's right. And then the next episode that we're going to come across is when they go to Atlantic City.
Yes. I've been to Atlantic City, and TV show depicts it incredibly well.
Okay, incredible. I liked this episode a lot because, so a big part of the intro to it, they start off by saying, if you don't have the soil of your homeland in your coffin and you don't bring it with you on a trip, you're not going to be able to sleep and you'll lose your powers. And then that's really bad. And Colin Robinson gets distracted watching TV. So the cleaning person comes in and vacuums up all their soil from under their beds.
So good. It's so funny. Yes,
they send Guillermo off on a trip to go to, like, he starts off in England and then he goes to Greece and then he's like on the border of Iran and he just like jumps out of the checkpoint, grabs some soil and rushes back.
Do they also need to they need to rig a boxing match, right?
So Sean, their neighbor who previously had the brain scramblies, he seems to be doing better now, but he has a gambling problem and has lost a bunch of money on these like man pillows.
Amazing. Yes.
Can't sell them, and certainly can't sell them to women because it's for men only. It says it very explicitly on the box. And so they need to rig a boxing match. And this is very graphic, the way that they do this. They hypnotize the guy or something, and they just fully knock his head off.
I mean, the show does not shy away from being graphic, yes, as we've seen. We've talked about our projectile vomit displeasure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was glad there was less of that going on here.
Yes.
Yes. The Chamber of Judgment is the next episode. So we have, this is where we're dispensing judgment from Nandor and Nadia, but they're trying to balance being merciful and being taken very seriously. And one of the people that they have to deal with is the guy who got turned when Guillermo went to that other vampire house.
Derek, yes.
Derek, exactly.
No, vampire, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what this is in reference to, but I have a line here. It's like, I hereby command you or whatever to not be a dick about this right now.
It's so funny. I feel like this would be a fun game at some point in the season, is to say a line without any like accent and then try to guess who said it. Because I feel like it's very hard to tell who.
Agreed. This, I believe, was Derek. I think this was Derek because he was a fresh vampire and no one told him the rules. And so he had been too obvious about all his vampire stuff. And he's like, I didn't know. Like, I had no idea. And they were like, you have an illegal hellhound. Which is just a golden retriever.
But can breathe fire, I believe.
Yes. That's right. And through all this, I mean, I guess since we're on the hellhound, we can also mention that we have the sire this season, who is the father of all, or grandfather or whatever. He goes all the way back in the ancestry for all vampires.
Right. Who's he played by?
He's like this weird gremlin creature. I don't know. He's played by an obvious person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Amazing. The sire. I forgot about the sire. Yeah.
Yes. They're keeping him locked up in this cage basically the whole time. And Nadia's like, oh my God, like, I can't believe you forgot to feed the sire. Now he got out. And he's like, oh my God, I forgot to tell Nandor to feed the sire. But Nandor devastated that the sire got out.
Amazing.
Yeah. And ultimately it's going to turn into this beautiful like buddy comedy almost, where it is revealed that the Baron stayed alive because he was almost dead, but then there was enough blood in the soil around the house that he came back. So he's just like half a body.
Because they knocked the top half of his body off, I believe.
Yes,
almost immediately after he got charred.
Yeah, no. So he's kind of just like from the shoulders up, I guess, and he becomes best friends with the sire and the hellhound, and they all just have this lovely little house together where they're all just best friends, and I found this very charming.
So good.
Yeah, very good. What else? Yeah, so I feel like we're burning through this one pretty quickly, but
that's right.
It's good. Okay, so next up, the Siren episode. This is where we have Laszlo and Colin Robinson are trying to find the origins of Colin Robinson because he's about to hit his 100th birthday, and they're going to some island, and then they get pulled off course by a siren who's like a half chicken person.
Plum Island, I believe. Yeah, Plum some Island. Of the stuff in the late, it's getting pretty weird.
Yes.
I recall all the stuff. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they get pulled off course by a siren. That's a Sheila, right? Yeah.
Yes, I think that's right. Yes.
Gonna eat them. Yeah.
Yes, but ultimately, Colin Robinson ends up actually really liking the siren. He's like, when she's singing, I can't resist her, but when she's not singing, I don't want to.
That's very funny. They get noise canceling headphones, right?
Yeah. So Laszlo goes to Best Buy, buys everything in the store, and then hypnotizes the guy into letting him just walk out with them, and then brings the headphones back to the island and flies off with Colin Robinson, even though Colin Robinson not so keen on leaving.
Yeah. It happens. I think they leave some of the documentary crew behind as well.
Yes, that's right.
There's some good stuff over the course of the show. I feel like The Office never wanted to, like, until very late in the game, decided to play with like the documentary crew. But there's some good stuff throughout the course of the show. People being like, no, they're with us, you know, or like the crew being hypnotized or whatever. It's very funny.
Yeah, the Baron very early on eats one of the sound guys.
Yes.
Or something. He's like, I'm sorry about your sound, man.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I guess kind of throughout the last three episodes is a bit of a through line with Nandor basically joining a cult.
Yes.
And it's being called a wellness center where they don't want to be vampires anymore. Every morning they pull out their fangs.
Fangs. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They don't attack people anymore. They do a lot of aerobics, a lot of vegan cooking that they just throw in the trash.
Yeah, and Guillermo is like, you know, turn me before you leave. He's like, no, it's a curse. I'll never make. It's like, it's so sad.
It's very sad.
Yeah, the idea like me wanting Guillermo. It's gonna be a big deal when Guillermo becomes a vampire. It'll be a big episode if we come to recap and Guillermo has been turned. This would be a big deal.
Yes.
Do you think it will happen, or is like eventually does that like juice like of like Guillermo almost becoming a vampire being promised to? Like, I feel like it has to happen at some point.
I feel like it has to happen, but at the same time, I feel like we're increasingly getting stuff from them being like, it's the curse of eternal life. So I don't know. Maybe I feel like at this point, we're supposed to feel a bit more conflicted about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and Guillermo is the one who is very much like, no, this is a cult. He goes in to save Nandor from these people, drags him back home. And then we actually do get a reveal where the person who initially recruited him takes all the followers upstairs and is like, now we can go out in the sunlight. Like, it's totally going to work. And just sends them all outside and they all burst into flame. Just like, all right, time to start again.
It's very funny. It's very, like, I mean, the satire on, like, you know, okay, let's all drink the Kool-Aid, but you can just step mm-hmm. outside. Like, we'll just bathe in sunlight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and throughout all of this, Nandor is pretty depressed. He's like, "I'm gonna go take a super slumber."
Super slumber, yeah,
yeah.
It can last for a hundred of years. Yeah,
yeah. But in his case, they wake him up after 20 minutes and then 30 minutes or something.
Yes, because it's Colin Robinson's 100th birthday coming up.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and but there's also a delegation that shows up at the same time, and Colin Robinson is like pretty sad that he has to share his birthday and that Nandor is going into a super slumber and is going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but then it turns out this is where we get the big reveal, and Grace, you said you remember what happens at the end.
Yeah, it's you only live to be 100 years. That's your life expectancy of an energy vampire. So Colin Robinson is going to die on his birthday.
Yeah, it's honestly, so when you and I talked about human resources, I remember thinking, how have they done this where this is so ridiculous and so absurd, and I'm feeling so many things, where Laszlo, it turns out throughout the entire back half of the season, as soon as Colin Robinson started looking into his origins, he found a page that said they only lived to 100 years, ripped it out of the book, and then decided he was just going to give him like a wonderful couple weeks until he died.
Yeah. Laszlo really
flashback of all the cute moments, like
yeah. If you like, I feel like between this and Jackie Daytona, this is like like the Laszlo highs are so high. They're like so good, and this is so cute. Nandor thinks that like Colin fakes his own death.
Oh yeah.
This whole thing, there's two moments here at the end of season three that I like. Perhaps there was a reason I just like didn't find the time to watch. to watch it. Nandor completely crushes Colin Robinson's head.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Truly horrifying stuff where his head just cracks like an egg pretty much, and it's very gross. But through all of this, Laszlo has made a really nice toast for Colin Robinson's birthday. They say nice things. Nadja seems pretty sad about it. Yeah. Let me see what else I have.
I mean,
I also like, because it's also Nandor's like accession day or something, and there's a point where Colin Robinson's like, "Happy birthday, Mr. Relentless."
He's becoming the supreme viceroy of his home country. It's his accession day. I mean, this whole last episode, I was very shocked that they were killing off Colin Robinson because he's such a beloved fan favorite. But I was kind of like, oh, wow, good. You know, I'm a big proponent of like sometimes you do have to kill off characters. That's not what happens.
That's not what happens. So I guess just before that reveal, everyone's like, well, Colin Robinson is dead. I guess we should all kind of go our separate ways. And so Nandor is going to leave. He wants to go explore the fjords, wherever they are. He's going to bring Guillermo. And then Nadja and Laszlo are going to go to England and rule the Vampiric Council or whatever. But then at the very last second, Laszlo pushes Guillermo into the coffin with Nadja. And he goes back home because someone else needs him more.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And didn't Nandor say he says the test, right? He was offering to take Guillermo to make him a vampire, right?
He basically got Guillermo all riled up, and Guillermo started actually fighting him, and he was like, okay, now you've proven that you're strong enough to come with me, and when we get to my homeland, I will make you a vampire. And then Guillermo doesn't show up because Laszlo has pushed him into a coffin with Nadja, And so Nandor just goes on his own.
So, yeah, and Gamera and Nadja are sent to London.
Yes.
Laszlo explains that he's staying behind.
He filled one of the coffins with Oreos and Pedialyte so oh that Guillermo God. Would stay alive.
That's amazing. But he has something more important to attend to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is where we see that Colin Robinson's body, in addition to having a disgusting smashed head, now has a big hole in the middle of the abdomen or whatever. And there's a long, disgusting trail that leads to the most awful baby you ever did see.
Colin Robinson baby.
It's just
boy.
A baby with Colin Robinson's head on it. And it is horrifying.
This is wild. This is wild. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So I will say I was spoiled on this. To some extent, where I hadn't seen this episode, but I had seen the article about like season 4 is coming back, and yes, baby Colin Robinson, and I was like, God damn it! Like that was something I wish I hadn't seen. But
it was wild. It's one of it's up there for like biggest surprises I've ever seen on TV. Because it's not that he's like, because like you're like, oh, he's dead. He's a vampire though, you know. And then he squishes his head. And you're like, oh, I guess like really he's not coming back. You know, what a funny way to write somebody off. And it's like, nope. Baby Colin Robinson.
Yeah. So yeah, and I love this. And obviously I don't know anything about the next season, but what I have seen is just like the idea of a baby as something of an energy vampire. And I think this is an incredible spin on it for just keeping it kind of fresh.
Yeah, I feel like there's still so much they could have done with an energy vampire, which like they can. They will do that. And they could with like other energy vampires. But it's almost like this thing I learned at camp is like to stop playing the game when it's the most fun rather than beating the game into the ground. And the kids are like, I hate this game. I don't want to play this game anymore. And I sort of feel like they did kind of like to like remove Colin Robinson after 3 seasons and now make him a baby. I think there's part of me that's like very skeptical and part of me that's like, this should be pretty fun.
I'm very excited about it. I think that's a great call that you don't want to bash it into the ground. Like obviously we've seen that the energy vampire thing totally works. Colin Robinson totally works. And let's see what we can do by taking him in a slightly different direction. I think he can pull it off. It's going to be great.
And it is a world where, like, you can explain, oh, energy vampires grow up incredibly fast, and this is, like, basically a Groot situation. Like, by the end of the season, he's just, like, an adult again, you know?
I can see that.
Because you could also have, like, teen energy vampire, which is very funny as well, right? You could do this whole thing.
That's true, yeah. Teenage Colin Robinson, I bet he's a nightmare.
for real. Nandor, Guillermo, like, the finale, I feel like, too, like, I feel like definitely season 3, there's times where it felt the most, like, it felt the most like, wow, we're doing, I mean, there's definitely that from season 1 and 2, but there's something about season 3. And I think though, at the end though, the fact that like Laszlo has this like beautiful moment where he's like, actually I have to like do something else to take care of Colin Robinson. And then the emotional impact of like Nandor waiting for Guillermo and Guillermo not showing up, like resets their relationship, which I could see being a little bit like, again, I'm saying like how much juice is there left with the like, Guillermo not getting to be a vampire, but actually this is fine. And then Nadja, like Laszlo essentially picking Colin Robinson for Nadja. Don't know how that will sit. So I'm actually quite excited to launch into season 4 in a week's time. 2 episodes are going to drop on premiere night. If you had any questions about whether Guillermo and Nadja might have their own side thing happening in London, the episode 1 is called Reunited. So I think they're all going to be reunited.
I hope so. I don't want them all to be apart for too long. So I'm very excited to see them regroup and see what we're going to do with this, because this is great.
I kind of could see it being fun of like, because so much of the juice of the comedy in the show is like them not understanding culture. And I could see if they have really been like American culture, and to go somewhere else where like just as they're figuring out American culture, they have to go somewhere else. Could be kind of fun.
In terms of the American culture thing, I think one of my favorite parts of the season is when Nandor gets super into the Big Bang Theory. Like Bazinga is the war cry of Sheldon.
He's obsessed with the casino game, right? The Big Bang.
Yes, exactly. He's like, the show is a very good adaptation of the game.
So good. So I'm excited for what season 4 has in store. And I feel like the show has also been very good at they don't overuse their guest cameos, like they've had some, obviously you know, the guide has been around for a while, but they're really like every season are trying to pull in like somebody new to come and like play some character, and I'm excited to see who they might have roped in for season 4.
Yeah. They had David Cross, I guess, was that the finale? He shows up there for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. They're never very prolonged. Just like a quick little cameo where you're like, oh, hey, look, it's Haley Joel Osment. I had no idea.
Yeah. Craig Robinson. They had Evan Rachel Wood. Like, you know, they just like kind of pull these people out of, you know, somewhere. Very fun. There were some people, Lindsay, on the Discord. They were actually ranking their five main characters. How would you rank your main five?
Okay. What do you think? Top to bottom or bottom to top?
Oh, I think we go bottom to top, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I think Laszlo comes
I think
in
so
last.
Too. It's tough because he does, again, I think his highest moments are like some of the best stuff in the show, but I think overall, I'm going to put him in.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's picking your favorite child. These are all great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nadia, probably number four, but also has some very high highs.
Yeah, I feel like my four and three could go back and forth. Yes. But I could agree with putting Nadja at number four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I think I have Nandor at number three.
I would agree.
Sorry, yes. I was going to say maybe Guillermo. I have Guillermo at number three, Nandor at number two, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
How I would probably do it. And then Colin Robinson at number one.
It's very interesting. They've like taken the number one and really put a big spin on Colin Robinson. That's very interesting.
Totally. I think Nandor, there are definitely times where I'm like, no, Nandor is my guy. I think a big part of it is the accent or just the way he does these line reads. Like, it's just truly really incredible. But I think they're number one and two for me pretty easily.
I mean, I think there's a reason why like they basically, like the Nandor character is like, basically Taika's character from the like to an extent, like it is its own spin, but it's the closest like one-to-one of anybody. Like Laszlo is probably close to Vladislav, but even that's I guess there's the other guy anyway, but I feel like Nandor to Taika's character is the closest one-to-one. I think there's a reason for that because that's the like sort of like emotional center, but I also like they didn't do the familiar thing in the movie, and sometimes I just really love Guillermo. Yeah, boy, it's really tough. It's really tough to rank all five.
Yeah. So you said you think you have Nadja and Nandor as four and three.
Oh boy, I feel like you could basically on any given day take my everybody except Laszlo, who I also love.
Yeah, I know. Jackie Daytona.
as I'm rethinking it, I probably put Nandor one, Colin Robinson two, Guillermo three, Nadja, and then Laszlo probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. Colin Robinson, Nandor. It's a flip a coin, honestly.
Yeah, it's so good. All right. Is there anything else we missed? We've gone through three seasons.
Well, what
of
did the people say? Did they vote? Was there a poll or anything?
No, they didn't poll. They were just all mostly it came down to somebody being like, yeah, I put I think it was Deidre. I think I put Laszlo last, and then people being like, but he's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Controversial take.
Yeah. But then most people being like, yeah, I just love Matt Berry in general. Diana said, I find Laszlo funny but not charming, which I think
interesting.
Is fair, which he's kind of faux charming, I think, is what they're trying to do. But Josh Lehmer asked, can we consider Jackie Dayton as a separate person? Which I think is all right, yeah. Anything else we missed?
I don't think so. I am very excited to get into season four, see what's coming up next. Can't wait to get into every beat of it because this was very, very fun.
Yes. It's such a good show. It's so well written. The things are like satiring or like very clever. It's very smart. I feel maybe pretentious being like, I love the show. It's very smart. You know,
it's very smart.
It's so smart. Yeah.
Just like us.
Yes. And I like it and I'm smart. But yeah, we'll be back next week. They're going to drop two episodes for the beginning of season four. And we'll be back to cover them at some point. So, Lindsay, anything else you have going on?
You can catch me wrapping up the series of BoJack Horseman over on BoJack Horsepod. Totally spoiler free, so you can check it out even if you've never watched it. And I'm also talking about Futurama over on the Podcast of Tomorrow.
Here on Post Show Recaps, I have the movie podcast with Ariel, Post Show Recaps Theater. We covered The Black Phone this week, Ethan Hawke horror film, which I thought was very, very good. So we're chatting about that. Next week, we'll have talking about Thor, Love, and Thunder. We're going to delve into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't really have anything else at the moment, but I do have other stuff coming up on Post Show Recap. I think it's going to be a busy summer for me here on PSR. And over on Rob is a podcast, I have the Off Speed podcast, talk about sports. And I also have The Pride Is Spoken, which we wrapped up, which I thought was very delightful and very fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of it. I think people should check it out because it was great. Heavy interviewed a bunch of survivors and it was delightful. And a bunch of survivors left messages for survivor fans. So it was great. I don't have a sign off for this episode yet. We're gonna have to come up with some. Okay. Oh yeah. We're just gonna yell bats as we go. We'll see you next week for our episode 1 and 2 coverage of season 4. Until then, bats.